in the town of Louisville. They got a man they call Big Bad Bill. I wanna tell you, he sure was tough, and he certainly did cut his stuff.
Big Tough Bill. That's who we've got here in studio this morning, William Mundell, the director of the Arizona Register of Contractors. And boy, this just spawns such an activity whenever we have you in. I think we're going to have you in more often.
Well,
Next time we'll schedule it so you don't have to postpone your vacation.
It's great being here.
We were talking, Jennifer walked in here like with six more questions during the break. Romy, we have the question that actually was posted just before the break about someone in Sun Lakes that had a stucco contractor out to the house. He thought he'd done all the verification and checking he needed with this particular contractor, and come to find out now that there's a problem, he's found out that the man that actually did the work actually stole another contractor's license number. And boy, we're seeing, I'm seeing more of that in the last 5 years than I've ever seen. Are crooked people just getting more creative?
Yeah, we're seeing more of that. Maybe 10 years ago, maybe a little more, the legislature passed legislation requiring that the license number be on the contracts and on business cards, and so that people know that they're licensed. But what we're seeing is people, you know, and there's dishonest, we know there's dishonest people, and that's what I was talking about earlier. We're trying to focus on the bad guys, that really small percentage of dishonest contractors, whether they're licensed or unlicensed, and they're putting other contractors' license numbers on their materials so that people think they're licensed. So what we suggest you do is not only, you know, you're checking to see if they're licensed on our website, but call the company that they're saying the license number is for and say, did you send, you know, does Mr. Smith work for you, to find out? That's what we're recommending now.
Now, you were mentioning, are we going to bring this man back in on air? You were mentioning that he may not be completely beyond help. We want to bring him in and see if we can help him out?
Yeah, I'd like to ask a couple more questions on the air, and then if I need to, I will have him email me directly. I'll give my email address out to him, and he can email me over the weekend, and I can look at it on Monday. But I do have a couple more questions.
Okay.
Go ahead. He's listening.
Hi, this is Kevin.
Okay, Kev.
So Kevin, how long ago did this occur? I need to know that first, because remember we talked earlier. I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but there is a statute of limitations.
Okay, it happened, and the job was to be completed in April, on April 2nd. During April 24th, we signed the contract. He was to be done April 3rd and disappeared on April 2nd.
Of this year? Of this year, Kevin.
I did file a complaint with the ROC. Unfortunately, you guys are so overwhelmed. Apparently, I was the 2,300 complaint that you were processing. The home was in a partial state of teardown. He ripped all the siding and insulation out. And I live in a homeowners association controlled environment. I couldn't leave the house like that, so I proceeded to have it done. An inspector did come out, but it was some 5 weeks later. He was able to find some discrepancies, and he's going to level fines.
Director Mundell, any more questions for Kev?
Well, just a couple things. As I understand the facts that you just talked about, he was actually unlicensed. He was using someone else's license, and he was not licensed. Is that correct?
Well, I don't think that is the case. I don't know where that entered into the story. It's listed, the license list is listed under another name. I'd be glad to give it to you on the air.
Well, let me just give you my email address, and you can email me, and I'll look at it, because I thought he had used somebody else's license. And
I still think that's the case.
I thought that's what you said earlier, but maybe I misunderstood. But my email address is wmundell, M-U-N-D-E-L-L, at azrock, one word, azrock.gov. Email me your name, and we will look into it on Monday.
Because there's a couple issues there. The fact, that it was recently completed definitely falls within the two-year review period if he's a licensed contractor. Let's assume what you and I were both assuming, that he borrowed a license, and in fact he isn't licensed. Can you guys lead any assistance in that regard at all?
Yes, we investigate unlicensed contracting. That's both licensed and unlicensed. There is a 1 year statute of limitations on unlicensed, but it's from the time we become aware of it. So that's why I was asking those questions. Even if he's unlicensed, we have the ability to investigate, and we will refer it over to the county attorney's office for prosecution if the facts warrant it.
I think the issue was that he was licensed but under a different category.
Oh.
I'd still get in touch with the registrar. And the fact that there was a five-week wait for an investigation, since you've taken office, y'all have gotten the investigation time down to about a third of what it used to be.
Yeah, we did. It's down. It was 150 days in February of 2009. It's down to, you know, 45, 30 days. We did have at the peak 12,000 complaints a year. We're down to about 6,000, but we're working through them. But I need to get the facts. If now what you're saying is he had a license to do plumbing, but he did electrical work, we need to look at that to see that's a violation. That's maybe not be an unlicensed violation, but it's still a violation. You got to do work within the scope of your license.
That would actually be good for the homeowner, because then you do have a license to go against. If he's completely unlicensed, then do y'all help the homeowner take it to civil? I mean, what do you do at that point?
Well, we keep getting into other questions and other issues. That's a very good point. If it's a licensed contractor, we have a recovery fund.
Yeah, man.
We have a fund, a restitution fund, that you can recover up to $30,000 per contractor for a violation, which does not apply to unlicensed contracting. We have a recovery fund, and because of Governor Brewer's leadership, $2.7 million was just put back into the fund last week because of Governor Brewer's leadership. So now we have money in the fund to pay claims.
Awesome. That is big news right there.
That is big news.
I mean, because the legislature swept y'all's recovery fund, I don't know, 7 years ago, 6 years ago?
Yeah, the fall of 2008. Money was swept out of the recovery fund, so we've had no money in the recovery fund. But as I said a second ago, because of Governor Brewer's her leadership, we have $2.7 million. That's on the licensed side. On the unlicensed side, to answer your question, we can still help in that regard. We will, as I said, we'll make the referral over to the county attorney or the city prosecutor. The difference, though, is the court can order restitution, but it's like getting blood out of a turnip.
Many times.
You're much more likely to get money now that we have money in the recovery fund from the recovery fund than chasing around a bad guy that, like the guy we talked about earlier. The courts have ordered restitution against that guy, but you're going to have to chase him around and get $20 a month back in restitution, whereas with the recovery fund, you get all $30,000 back if you're entitled to it in one check.
And now we're talking about the period of time it takes to get all this done, and his homeowners association was breathing down his neck. You guys have actually liberalized what a homeowner can do now, too, in the case that we need that kind of work done, as far and speeding up the process of getting the license bids to correct it. Y'all have streamlined all of that tremendously.
150 days to less than 30, but we may be able to help you, Kevin, depending on the facts.
Okay. Well, there you go. And it's that kind of situation where one question can lead to about eight or nine contingencies and tentacles. Where does it really go from there?
Well, this one's kind of off topic from the day, but the man has been so patient. Let's see if we can reward Jim and help him get some cement removed from some tools he has.
Okay.
Jim, welcome to the program. We'll give him just a second and verify. He got so tired he set his phone down and was listening to the radio, which is about 19 seconds after what you actually hear.
Well, while we're waiting for him to pick up, let me talk about, this is the time of the show we always talk about the Arizona staycation. And folks, those of you that listen regularly know how much I love Arizona and how much I travel Arizona and how much I promote everybody spending time in Arizona. We launched the Arizona staycation with our friends Sanderson Ford, Arizona Highways Magazine, and the Office of Tourism, where we will award a lucky winner 1 3-day Arizona staycation wherever you want to go, whenever you want to do it. There's no blackout locations, there's no blackout dates, and Sanderson Ford will loan you any one of the cars that they have on the demo lot for you to use. We give you a gas card so the gas is free. We work with Arizona Highways and Office of Tourism to try and see if we can't get your lodging and your meals free. Jennifer's done a great job on that so far. We're actually going to draw a winner first thing Monday morning for this month. It's become so popular. Last year we did it quarterly. This year we're actually doing it monthly. So you've got to get to RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Especially if you're trying to get out of the heat.
Especially. There's a Travel Arizona tile right there on the home page. Register to win. Click there. And first thing Monday morning, we're going to have a winner for this month drawn.
And you can enter every month.
Okay. That's good
now
to know.
Now you can't win more than once in the same year.
Okay.
But if you entered last month and you didn't get it and you were bummed out and you're thinking, no point. Well, you can re-enter again.
There you go. And special thanks to Sanderson Ford for pulling that off.
Per month.
Now, you want to get to the ladder, see if Jim's
all right,
there?
Jim's. They say Jim's ready. Good morning, sir.
Hello there. How are you?
Very good.
Thank you.
Listen, I have a question. A friend of mine gave me a 10-foot lower section of a 20-foot extension ladder. It's a real nice ladder. It's got those half-moon steps. The only problem is the bottom three steps, apparently they were hauling cement up and down someplace. There's cement all over them. A friend of mine said muric acid. I've tried to knock it off, but I'll damage the darn ladder doing it.
So this hasn't been on there for an hour or two. This sounds like it's been a month or three.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet you it's been on there a year or two.
Well, just one of the, a grinder.
Yeah, one of the things grinder. You'll notice when you're looking at ruins of ancient society, anything with stone or concrete still there, and it's for a reason.
That's right.
I know that.
I would tell you, just get a 4-inch grinder with a diamond blade on it and just grind it off down. Muriatic acid isn't going to take off chunks of cement on an aluminum ladder step. It's going to burn through cement residue. Get it down to where it's just residue with a grinder. Like you say, you try and beat it off with a hammer, you're going to ding up your ladder rungs too much.
And you won't have to get all the way back to aluminum. Just get it smooth surfaced, and over time in footwear, it'll probably help.
Then you could try a little muriatic acid and an acid resistant nylon brush and probably get pretty close. But if you're doing that, make sure you're wearing good leather gloves and eye protection. On that point, I want to tell you that you have to be careful using half of a ladder, okay? You're going to end up using it as a step ladder, and I just want you to be very, very careful.
We talked about most of the ancient ruins are in concrete cement. There's also a reason most injury accidents on the job site are ladder falls.
That's right. Exactly.
Use caution.
Yeah, and never come down a ladder face out. You always go up and down a ladder face in, okay? Missing the step with your heel is the most common ladder accident we have.
And if you're facing the ladder, like you should be, you can use one hand at a time, leg for leg, or put your hands around the backside and hold on so you're never at a point where your hands are free of the ladder itself. We'll be back right after this. It's Rosie on the House.